Hello and welcome to Inspire Me Today Radio. I'm your host, Gail Lynn Goodwin. So often in the hustle and bustle of everyday life, we fall into a monotonous routine where one day blends into the next. Yet each and every day we have the opportunity to celebrate life and to find and create the moments that we will remember forever. Today's guest has spent the last 20 years practicing the art of finding the gifts in everyday life. Using disappointment, depression, and anxiety as her teachers, she's developed products and practices for celebrating ourselves, the people we love, and the shape of our lives, even when none of those look the way we had imagined. She's the founder of Simply Celebrate, a business dedicated to helping people find more joy, color, connection, and spontaneity in life. I love it. She's here today to share with us how to turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life. I am so honored to welcome today's guest, Sherry Reichert-Belew. Sherry, thank you for joining us today at InspireMeTodayRadio.com.
Oh, hi there, Gail. I'm so happy to be here. This is really fun for me.
Well, and for us as well. I want to jump right in. How did you get started doing what it is you're doing?
Well, the truth of it is I am someone who has a history of anxiety and depression. And a lot of people wouldn't have known that when I was growing up because I had this sort of veneer. But really inside, I struggled quite a bit throughout my younger years. And it got to the point where I had actually in my 20s had moved out to San Francisco with a boyfriend, and that relationship didn't work. And I was completely brokenhearted. I was really, really depressed. I mean, so much so that I was really just having thoughts of you know, ending it. And it was such a difficult time for me. And fortunately, you know how grace has it sometimes in life.
Of course, always has it.
I love this, that someone gave me a book by a Zen teacher, Sherry Huber, that was that led me to a meditation class.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear, Gail, I can always remember this one moment where it's like I was, you know, how they teach you to focus on the breath, breathing in and breathing out.
Mm.
And on one inhale, I realized that that iron wall of pain that felt so solid for so long was gone, like just for a moment. But it was a moment that I was present to, and I saw, like, wait, wow. And then, of course, it all came rushing back. You know,
Can happen in one moment, that can happen in another, and then we can start to string those together.
That's exactly it. That is so much. Like, for me, it was that realization. Like, until then, I didn't have that realization that it wasn't solid. And then I saw, you know, to me, they were like pinpricks of light. You know,
mm-hmm.
like, and just like you said, I thought, well, I could look for these moments. You know, I could just look throughout my day. You know, if I'm holding my cat and she's purring and that feels really great, or you know, I'm making some toast and I love the smell of toast and that feels great. And from there, of course, as you can imagine, it became pretty easy to make the next leap, which was, if I can seek out these moments where I'm not feeling pain, I could create them.
Absolutely.
And so that really led me to this extraordinary path of looking to create extraordinary moments in my life. And just like you said, when you string them together,
woohoo!
Yeah.
And you know, Sherry, there's something magical also about when we go looking for something, it has a better chance of showing up if we're consciously looking for it.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it really is. I mean, we create more amazing moments because we're looking for them, rather than sticking our head in the sand or walking around like Eeyore and saying, life sucks and nobody likes me, everybody hates me, and I'm going to go eat worms. That doesn't help. Seriously. But it does help when you say, okay, I am a creature of the divine. I am I'm part of this world. I'm part of this creation. I'm supposed to be here. And you know what? Today is going to be an amazing day, and I'm going to go find an incredible moment right now. And it happens.
It does. I like to play this game sometimes, like the most mundane moments. Like, I'm going to go, you know, take a letter out to the postal box on the corner, you know, and I'll think, like, what extraordinary thing is going to happen, you know, just on the way to the postal box. And you know it, there's always something, right? Because it's like, I'm looking.
It's so funny that you say this. I recently had a discussion with my sister about this. And it was in reference to the movie The Secret. And we were at a convention that I was helping her at, and we were in the condo in the morning, and the line on the movie that we were watching that morning came on and said something like, well, expect something magical to happen, and it will. And she kind of rolled her eyes and says, yeah, right, like that's ever going to happen. And I said, well, let's consciously do this. And the example that was given on the movie was, have somebody bring you a cup of coffee. And I said, but, you know, that's kind of cheating. I don't drink coffee, so that's not a good one. How about if we have a friend call, you know, an old friend, something like that. And we put it aside and we walked into the convention 20 minutes later, you know, after driving there. Sherry, I got to tell you, it was pretty magical. First day, first time, I'd never been in the city, never been in this convention center. Two guys come walking up to us and said, we were at Starbucks about 20 minutes ago and we heard we should take coffee for the girls next to our booth. Hi, we're Bob and Sal and we're in this booth over here. And they held out two cups of coffee. My sister's jaw hit the floor. And I started laughing and started explaining to them that while I appreciate this more than they could ever know, I don't drink coffee, and may I pass it on to someone else? And as I was doing that, my phone rang, and it was my oldest girlfriend in the world that I've known for 25 years calling to say hi.
Oh.
And at that point, my sister walked away and said, this is creeping me out. Stop it.
I love that story. That's
what it
so
does,
perfect.
And the reason that I share it is because you're so dead on. If you consciously look for those moments, they happen. And I almost think the converse of that is true also, that if we get too stuck in the mundane and the boring, the mundane and the boring show up.
Yes. Yes. You know, and I think so much of it too, I'm just trying to think, I was listening to one of your audios recently, Laura Munson,
mm-hmm.
Is that Laura Munson? And she was talking about, you know, needing to let go of an idea of how things should be.
Yes.
And I love that part because there's also a Joseph Campbell quote that I love about, you know, we must be willing to let go of the life we've planned in order to have the life that's waiting for us.
Exactly.
And her what she said reminded me so much of that. And I think that that's also so key, that if we have a vision in our head, you know, of this is how it's going to be. Well, here it's just another day. I'm just driving the kids to the school again. Well, there's no room, right? There's no room for us.
Of course.
And I
call it magic, that when we make room and accept the fact that magic will show up, it does each and every time.
Yes. And in the most unusual ways, too.
It shows up, Sherry, in ways that if I had tried to be really super creative, there's no way I could have come up with the way magic shows up for me in my life. I mean, no way.
I love that, isn't it?
No, please, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and it's just a funny little example, but it's jumping out at me, I think, because I'm at my mom's house right now in Ohio visiting. But I was here with my son last summer, and my niece was in town, and a bunch of us were going to drive-in movie. And we got there, and they had changed the time, so the kids' movie we wanted to see wasn't playing for like 2 hours. And we were like, oh. And then it was so great because all of us sort of at the same time said, well, okay, what can we do with this? You know, and it ended up being like we went and we found this place outside. It was really warm out, and we happened to have cards on us, and we started playing cards outside. And it was just this magical time, like not really anything spectacular, but we all remember it.
Of course.
It was, of course.
And yeah, you had a conscious choice to say, ah, darn, life sucks. Nothing ever works out for us, and go home and pout the rest of the day. And then complain to all your friends about how awful your life is. Or you say, you know what? That didn't work. What's next?
What's next?
And go find the magic in that what's next moment.
That is it, isn't it?
Oh, it is to me.
And it's there. I mean, and it doesn't have to be. I think the thing is that, of course, as you know from, you know, the word simply celebrate, I mean, for me, it's really also that it's there. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be bold. It doesn't have to be, you know, in those big Hollywood lights. In order to feel like that, a lot of times for me, that experience of playing cards with my family outside feels like that cinematic feeling. You know?
Absolutely. And it would be one of the important scenes in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And
right,
that's,
there'd be the music playing in the
exactly.
background. Right?
And I think that's where we sometimes miss it, is that we expect, you know, Hollywood, Madison Avenue, whatever, however you want to look at it, the ad agencies have conditioned us to expect magic to look magnificent or huge. And instead, It's the moment when your granddaughter walks up and tells you that she loves you. Aww. Or, you know what I mean? It's those kind of things. It isn't, you know, having your, you know, in some, I remember watching Pretty Woman, you know, and when he buys her a new car or something like that, thinking, wow, you know, that doesn't happen in real life normally. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those aren't the moments that I think the average person can identify with, but things that when we're on our deathbeds, when we're, you know, 90, 100, 150, whatever it happens to be, I would think that the things that will be the most important are the connections that I had with other people and the times that my heart and their heart touched.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the time. And whether that's sitting playing cards in the grass outside of a movie theater because you blew it on the time, or did you? Because, or did you? I have to think that there's blessing in absolutely every situation.
Yes. And I'm just loving, as you were talking, I was remembering the other day when I was dropping my son off at school. And, you know, we said goodbye and said goodbye. And then I was kind of just lingering, looking after him. You know, he's 11. And so he's growing up really fast. And I was like looking at him. And all of a sudden he just turned around and came back and made a face at me in the window, like a fun face.
Yes.
And I thought, I'm going to remember that forever.
Like,
of course. Such the connection, just like you said, it was like I felt like I was feeling so connected to him, and he must have, you know, maybe felt it, or he just turned around and just it was his fun. He's so fun.
No, I get it. And those are the moments that you will celebrate, that we will celebrate. If you think about it, if you think about the stories that your parents told you of things that you did when you were a child, it was little tiny things. I mean, I had one just the other day with my granddaughter. She's 2.5. And her name is Luna, and I was playing with her, Sherry, and I just said, my heart was overwhelmed and bursting, and I said, Luna, I love you to pieces. And she looks at me, and she kind of cocks her head sideways, and she calls me Gigi, and she says, Gigi, I love you 3 pieces.
Oh.
I will never forget that. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
That to me was more valuable than anything that could have happened. And it was one of those celebrating life, simple little moments that just happens. And you are so right. They happen each and every day. And I think our lives do become extraordinary when we start linking those together instead of the poor me, life sucks moments.
Yes. Or you know what I was thinking of too when you were saying that is so important to me. You may know I make these one-of-a-kind books for people. So, you know, if it were for you, people would say what they love about you, their favorite memories. And one of the things about those books that I just love is that people aren't writing about the achievements, the awards, the promotion at work.
Of course.
Those aren't the things that come up. You know, what comes up inevitably is like, oh, whenever I go to her house, you know, she always gives me a big hug when I open the door. Or, you know, I just love it. We always take the dog for a walk and we just look at the trees. And I mean, people, it's those moments that are what people remember.
So do you think that we're just brainwashed in the wrong way to be expecting things to be more grandiose than they need to be? And in looking for the grandiose, we miss the wonderful?
Yes, I do. I love the way you just said that. I think it is brainwashing. I think that it's, you know, there's something about, and of course, you know, we all know it's like a lot of our economy runs on, you know, people selling things and advertising, and it's that more, more, more. It's not enough. You know, unfortunately, so much of the way that sales and marketing works is based in that something's wrong.
Absolutely.
Here, get this and it'll fix it, rather than, of course, what you and I are talking about. And this was certainly my experience of when I was able to turn my attention to, like, what is here? What's here? Oh, what's here now? And we always, just like you're saying, I mean, we have so many riches that we're not able to see when we're in that, well, what's wrong? What's wrong? What
right.
do I need? What's the next promotion? What's
yep.
the next?
Well, Sherry, I got to bring this back around because I don't want people saying, oh, these two women are so Pollyanna-ish. They've never had, you know, tragedy and adversity in their lives. So I'm wondering, you know, for somebody listening, you would make it look easy. You're this successful woman. You may have come through some adversity. Talk to us a little bit about that because I want those listening that are going through the muck right now to be able to identify with you. So share with us, if you would, how adversity and challenges in your life have strengthened you to get to who you are today. And more importantly, for those that are looking at some mountain in front of them, How do you get across it?
Yeah, I love that. And I'm so glad you brought that up because I do consider depression and anxiety and disappointment my greatest teachers. And by no means is my life just like I don't wake up and bound out of bed. That is just not the way that I'm wired. You know, I wish I were.
Sure.
But so for me, you know, in the everyday life, for one thing, I typically wake up into anxiety. And it's my practice every day. Every day, like immediately when I wake up.
Okay, can I jump in here for a minute?
Sure.
When you say you wake up, is it because you expect to wake up to that?
No, that's the interesting thing. I mean, I know this is going to sound a little cuckoo, but I'm from California, so I kind of feel like I've been given all of these amazing tools to transform anxiety and depression.
Right.
And I feel like in some ways, part of it is it keeps me grounded into these tools and how effective they are, and that these are the tools I use in coaching and in my work.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is I feel like in some ways, and this is the kind of like woo-woo part, but I feel like in some ways I am able to transform the energy, and it feels like a gift in a way. Like I don't really feel like it's necessarily mine
in
the morning when I wake up into it. I kind of feel like I live in a city, it's very urban. I actually live in kind of a little bit of a, you know, rough part of town. And sometimes I think it's
you're picking up the vibe.
Picking up the vibe, and that I have the opportunity, and I've been given these great teachers and tools to be able to transform it.
That's awesome.
You know, and I see
so
that other like.
Can you give us, Sherry, one or two tangible steps on when you do wake up into one of those kind of feelings in the morning? How do you shift from that into bring me wow?
Well, I'll tell you, I have a series of things that I do that are almost just completely foolproof for me. In fact, I probably would say they are. Like the first thing I do, I have a practice that I learned from my teacher, Sherry Huber, which is, it's called an audio mentoring practice. So in a recorder, we record things that we really want to hear, our greatest intentions, those places of who we most want to be in the world, what brings us happiness. I have hundreds of recordings, and the one that I always go to first thing in the morning is one that I made for myself that says, you know, hey, you and everyone you love is going to die sooner than you can ever imagine or that you would ever want to happen. Life is so short, and while you're here, here are the things that are really important to you. You know, and I list things just like what you and I are talking about. Like, just
it makes great sense.
Yeah, it just brings me immediately back to this could be my last day. If this were my last day, how do I want to wake up with my son this morning? How do I want, you know, how do I want to be with my friends? How do I want to be in my work? It really takes me straight into the moment.
It's funny that you say that, Sherry, because I have one that I listen to in the morning on my walks, and it's, I am so happy and grateful now that... And I go through just one after the next. And some of those things haven't yet manifested that I'm able to see them. So some of them are wish list kind of things. But I celebrate and I'm grateful in advance.
I find that
brings them to me even faster.
That is, you know, that's so great because you're going to love this. The second thing that I do, I learned from Rich Gurman, which is a 10-10 list.
Uh-huh.
The first thing, 10 things that you're grateful for, and the next 10 are things that, you know, you'd love to invite into your life, which is a very similar. And the way that I usually do them is I just do them all as gratitudes. So just like what you're saying, it's sort of like, you know, and inevitably the things that are on that second half that maybe aren't sort of, you know, manifest quite yet. For one thing, I feel so happy when I'm just writing about them.
Sure.
You know,
how can you not? It's things that that to me is my woohoo list.
Yes.
And I mean, seriously, if you listened, I had it on the website for some time that people could download this thing that I'm talking about, I'm so happy and grateful now that, and it's really kind of funny because I seriously get so pumped up and so jazzed and I'm like, woohoo, yes. And I'm really happy with the whole thing. And for anybody listening to it as an outsider, they're probably thinking this woman's nuts. But I can tell you that the more enthusiastic I woohoo, the better my entire day goes.
Yes. Because, you know, in some ways, And I've heard this. I mean, I can't cite the studies, but I've heard that just imagining things, the same chemicals go through our bodies as when they actually are happening.
Right? Yeah, I don't mind tricking my unconscious. I really don't. I think that's a cool thing.
So, right. So it's like what you're saying. And one of my things that's always on my list is, you know, that I have this orange fat tired bicycle that I ride around in the morning and I go to a cafe and write. And it's so much fun. You know, it's really, like I say, like you feel it. It's just this wonderful, like, woohoo moment. Like,
that's
wow, that
awesome.
Great.
Well, talk to us a little bit about your new book, Simply Celebrate, 101 Ways to Turn Ordinary Days into an Extraordinary Life. I guess that's the old book, yes?
That's the old book that I'm happy, always happy to talk about, because that is kind of the foundation of everything that we're talking about right now.
Well, we're also though, talking about celebrating life, and with celebration oftentimes comes gift-giving. And as I understand, your new book, if I'm getting this correctly, is Present Perfect, 127 creative, no to low cost, wow-em gifts that they'll never forget.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So one of the things, of course, and this actually goes quite along well with the conversation we were just having, with another thing that I do in sort of my daily life to feel great is I realized really early on the bridge of gift giving and generosity to how I feel, right? So I am really passionate, and it's one of the things that I really would love if I could have one mission in the world, is to get people to really love gift giving and to do it in a way like, not, you know, I think so much of what's happened is it has become this like chore, this like, oh, I got to go to the mall and get so-and-so something. And for me, gift giving is a chance for us to really reflect to the person that we're celebrating.
Of course.
How we see them, who they are, what they've meant to us. It's really, it's just a time that we can actually be really impactful and intentional about expressing our love in a way that, unfortunately, sometimes doesn't happen until people are gone. And like at funerals, people are very open about the stories and the love and those peak moments we're talking about.
Of course.
And I really want people to do that now. And there's a myriad of ways that people can do it. And, you know, one of my all-time favorites that is in this book, and this is always the first thing I tell people, because it's really literally changed my life, which is something called a love list. And it doesn't cost anything to do, but you just really sit down and spend, you know, an hour really thinking about who this person is, times you've shared with them, what you love, and you just start brainstorming.
So it's a what I love about you list?
Yep, what I love about you list.
That's beautiful.
It can be funny. It can be, you know, sweet, or it could be memories. But yeah, and it's, I can't tell you like how good it feels to do that.
You know, you're right on the right track here, Sherry. I got to tell you, when I got married 4 years ago, we've been together 5, but we got married 4 years ago. And one of our luminaries, Father Miles O'Brien Riley, is a Catholic priest that worked with Pope John at the Vatican for years. And he is probably one of my favorite people on the planet, Father Miles is. And what he suggested that I give my husband and that he give me at our wedding ceremony is a love letter that is called, it's the love list. It's what I love about you.
You're getting love
and
that.
And that was our ceremony. And the fun thing about that is each year on our anniversary, we read that list back to each other.
Oh, Gail.
So it helps you remember on those days that you want to pull your hair out or string him up, why you married the guy in the first place. Do you know what I mean? By
yes.
Focusing on all those things they're doing right versus the one thing they might be doing wrong.
Yes, and I'm so excited to hear you say that you do that you bring it out and that you read it to each other. Because
I can't do it without crying. I just can't. I mean, and it reunites you. It takes you right back to the core essence of who you are and why you're together in the first place. And so, but I never thought of doing that for my daughter or for my son or for my parents or my siblings or
yes.
whatever. And that wow.
I recently had someone, because I'm always, it's like one of my things I'm constantly putting out there to people. And recently had someone who was having a really hard time with her sister, and they were having a really difficult time. And in the midst of it, I said, you know, what if you just spent an hour and just, you know, and it's completely transformed her.
Absolutely.
And she actually sent it to her sister. And of course, you can only imagine, like, it just,
It's hard to be mad at someone when they tell you 27 reasons why they love you. I mean, try that one. You know, they say love cures everything. Love conquers all. And that's proof right there.
It is.
Well, I can't wait to read the book. It sounds like a great, as you say, no to low cost, wow-em gift. So I look forward to reading that. Now, tell me, you're currently working on one about finding, is it self-mentoring?
It is, yes, self-mentoring.
Talk to us a little bit about that.
So, yeah, so what that is, and I just alluded to a little bit ago, which is this practice of recording things to oneself. So one of the things that, I mean, we all know there's so many inspiring people, like, Lord knows, look at your website. You know, it's amazing how much inspiration is out in the world. And at the same time, what I want people to know is we all have that within us.
Oh, yes.
Right? Every single one of us could be interviewed by you and to have all of this amazing stories and inspiration. And so this is practice as a way of people in their own voice inspiring themselves.
That's brilliant. No, that's a great idea because I don't think there's anything that cuts to the core to get your attention quickly than hearing your own voice.
Yes.
And I especially love when you record some upbeat, woohoo kind of thing on a day that you're feeling like you could conquer the world. So that when you do wake up on one of those days and you feel like Eeyore and everything around you is going wrong, that's when you can go listen to that and say, oh, maybe it doesn't suck as badly as I thought it did, you know?
Well, and that's exactly, I mean, you've got it to the point. I mean, that's it. I have once, and that's, you know, that's another one I listen to quite a bit, which is like, oh, you know, I want you to listen to this when you're feeling a little bit down or you're tired or you're frustrated, because what I want you to know, you know, and it's this higher self.
Of course.
Giving, it's like, that's where the mentoring comes in. It really is this higher self who can mentor whoever's present. So it means that there's nothing wrong when we're feeling frustrated or angry or upset or, you know, but that there's always some other part of us that can speak to a different place.
Oh, totally. You know, Sherry, you're right. You're singing to the choir here in that Inspire Me Today came from a point that I wrote. My daughter said to me, Mama, when you're gone, how will I remember all the things that you want to teach me? And so for her college graduation, I wrote the first Today's Brilliance. And that was my desiderata, so to speak, to her of if I was, you know, was to just condense down everything that I've learned in life to what really matters and what doesn't, this is it. And it wasn't 500 words. It was closer to 800 words. But, you know, it's what it was at the time. And since then, that's what we ask each and every one of our luminaries to do. The funny thing about this, Sherry, is every single person listening to this would benefit by going and writing their own 500 words. Because I have mine actually hanging in my office. And on days, yeah, there are days that I too feel like pond scum. I mean, we all have days like that. And whenever I get in that kind of a space, I'll walk over and I'll read that and it's gone. Because it's a friendly reminder from something bigger than me that I am not my problems. I am not what I am focusing on in that moment. That I am a child of God and connected to something so much more powerful than this itty-bitty, tiny, little, trivial whatever that I was concerned about.
Oh, that is so it. And I want, so if you'd be willing, I'd love it too. If you record, I mean, imagine recording that and listening in your own soothing, wonderful voice to hear that.
I will take that challenge.
Okay.
I'm writing that down right now. Record my Today's Brilliance.
Because I think like, you know, it, and I think, you know, we get things on all different levels. So I love too. I love to write things and post them. And to do the audio work. It is, somebody once told me that there's nothing more healing than our own voice speaking kindly to us.
Mm.
And I believe that because so often through, you know, especially in childhood, we start taking on some of those outside voices and we internalize them and they're not that kind all the time.
Well, try looking in the mirror and saying,
yes.
I love you.
Yes.
And the first reaction most of us have is, oh, that's silly. You know, oh, I can't say that. Versus, I love you. And if you have to say it 10 times, say it 10 times until you can look that person looking back at you right in the eye and mean it.
Yeah.
And that alone can just flood you with this warmth of wow that makes you say, okay, now I'm ready to go find the magic in these everyday moments. Bring it on.
Yeah. Yes. And, and it's the same, I think, with the voice, like what you're saying about looking in the mirror. I just finished teaching a six-week class where I was teaching people how to use this practice. And a lot of people, and I know this is really common, oh, I hate the sound of my voice. I hate the sound of my voice. And I would say, just do it. Just stick with it. I promise you, very quickly, and this always happens, you know, it doesn't take that long before it becomes your own best friend. It's just that in the beginning, you know, like you said, looking in the mirror and saying it's uncomfortable, it's different, it's new. We feel a little like, oh, that's strange. But it doesn't take very long at all until we start to learn that it's like hearing those kind things and those inspiring things and those really fun woohoo things to ourselves.
Exactly.
It's so life-changing.
Well, you kind of walked right into this one, Sherry. Asking me to record my Today's Brilliance, I'm going to ask you, share with us, summarize your greatest wisdom. What have you learned that you'd want to pass on to others?
Ah, well, people probably can guess already from our conversation.
But okay.
The thing that I just feel is so important is creating extraordinary moments. Noticing and creating extraordinary moments, because they're all around us all the time, and we don't, it's not necessarily like we have to always create them. But that I really feel, and the gift giving is a big piece of that, of course, and it can be as, I consider gift giving going to the grocery store and giving a huge smile to the person who's behind the counter. I mean, to me, that's a gift as well. But it's like, so in the smallest to the largest ways, really being present to what is extraordinary right here, right now. And if I'm not seeing it, what can I create? You know? Get some bubbles at the store and, you know, just start blowing them. And it's amazing what happens around you. And to me, that's like one of the most simple, you know, children start jumping and adults smile. And it doesn't take a lot.
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, and I find that when I'm in the space of not being able to find extraordinary, I turn to nature. Oh. I'll go pick a flower and just look at the flower, or look at a leaf, or look at the sky. I mean, look at anything in nature, and I am instantly wowed.
Yes, I love that. And I want to go back to, because I think it was also really important what you said, and this is a very important place for me too, it doesn't always have to be bubbles and champagne and the high part. For me too, and I have gone through some really difficult times in my life, and some of the most beautiful moments of celebration have actually come, what I call like celebrating in the dark. They've come out of or within those moments of being really, really down and having the wherewithal to say to myself, what would feel like a small celebration to you right now? And it might be a bath with some candles when we're really sad.
Mm-hmm.
Or it might be if we're having, you know, a really difficult time in a relationship that we're able to just, like we were just saying, like just turn our attention even for a moment on something in that relationship that would really brought us joy. It really can be those times that are really hardest for us can also, to me, the word celebration, it doesn't have to be, you know, jumping up and down joyful. And often it's not. It can be really quiet. We can be grieving, but if we allow ourselves to have that grieving, if we allow ourselves to be who we are within it, there is an opening. There is a light within that.
Yes, there is. Most definitely.
And I guess for me, I always feel like that's really important, because I never want people to think like, oh, well, life has to just be this. I love the quote, you know, it's not all about the high notes. There was a famous opera singer who said that, and I love it. It was such a beautiful, because there's all the other notes, and each one.
Absolutely. And they're all important, because without the polarity, without the opposite, we can't appreciate it.
Exactly. But we don't have to fight them, and we don't have to, I think, like what you were saying earlier in the conversation was what I learned, too, you know, so fortunately, you know, those many years ago, which is that it doesn't have to be this story of, you know, this is so hard, this is so difficult, I don't want this. But rather it can be like, wow, okay, here I am. You know, how can I hold this? You know, how can I show up for this moment in a way that is soothing and caring for myself, and that maybe even I could find some joy here, you know?
It's a beautiful way of looking at it, a really beautiful way. Well, Sherry, I have really enjoyed talking with you. So thank you for the insights and the wisdom, the brilliance that you've shared today with our listeners. I have to ask, this is probably my most fun question of all of them. And it's one that I've had the privilege of asking all of our luminaries, the youngest one being 6 and the oldest 104. Okay, so you're right there in the middle of that range, I believe. So here's your question. If you had just one more thing that you could accomplish in your lifetime, what would it be?
Wow, that's such a great question.
Isn't that fun?
I love that. I love that. You know, and I think I have to go back to, the love list. I think if I had one more thing to accomplish, it would be to get millions of people having said that they've made at least one love list, but hopefully more, and really experienced what it feels like to find such joy in creating something like that for someone and in giving something like that to someone, and to see how simple and that it doesn't have to cost anything, that we can really like live in that kind of joy and give that kind of joy really simply.
How beautiful. And I'm picturing, you know, sitting here in my, looking at my laptop while we're talking, while I'm listening to you with that, thinking, oh, I could just email like 10 of my friends, 10 things I love about them, and ask them to pass it on to 10 other ones that they love. And it's like, ooh, that could really be fun and that could go viral. And you know what I mean?
Please, I have that vision. That would be so wonderful, of just people constantly making these love lists.
Yeah, just each day, if we reached out to one person and said, I love you and why, each day.
Yeah, and it could be one thing, right? It doesn't even have to be a whole long a list
I
of one.
I love the fact that, and just tell them whatever, and imagine receiving that.
I know.
How you feel like you're walking on the clouds, you know, during the rest of the day when you receive something like that. It is such a gift of validation for your being here. It's wonderful. So I know what I'm going to do today. My takeaway from this call is I'm going to not only notice the magic in the moment, I'm going to go create some magic in the moment by sending out a love letter, writing a love list for several of my friends and asking them to pass it on as well.
Oh, I'm so happy. You just made my day. I love that.
Well, hopefully you just made a whole lot of people's day who are listening to this recording. So thank you again for being with us. Sherry, is there anything you'd like to add in closing?
I just really would like to express my gratitude to you and for what you're doing. And your work is such an inspiration. And it takes, you know, they say it takes a village, right? I mean, it really takes all of us to, like, when I'm feeling down, like being able to go somewhere like your website or listen to an interview. It's so important. And I guess I just really want to express that. And so for all of us, that we can all be that for each other.
Thank you. That means a lot, because that's why we're here, just to help everybody remember how incredibly magnificent we all are.
We all are.
And that life is a beautiful place and we should be grateful to be here and go celebrate it.
Yeah.
So thank you. We should simply celebrate it, right?
Yes, we should.
Well, I appreciate it completely. Sherry, we'll go ahead and put the link for any of our listeners that if you're listening to this on your MP3 player while you're at the gym or while you're driving or wherever, come on back to Inspire Me Today. Just go to the Luminary tab, click on it, type in Sherry, and you can just put in Belul, Belul. Did I get that right, Sherry?
That's right. You got
okay, it. Okay. All right. So Sherry Reichert Belul, and all her information will be there for where you can find her books, her products, and connect with her directly through her web links. So come on back and just find Sherry on inspiremetoday.com. So Sherry, thank you again. Really, this has been fun. I appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, it's been such a joy. I feel so energized. I'm just so grateful to be here. Thank you so much.
I sit on this little bouncy ball when I do my interviews, and I can always tell because I start bouncing up and down when I'm really having fun on these interviews. So hopefully you folks listening can hear all my little squeaky bounces from my ball going up and down. But anyway, Sherry, thanks again. And to our listeners, we love you guys. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. Come on back again next week. We'll bring you inspiration from another incredible luminary. And until then, remember, it's only when you have the courage to step off the ledge that you'll realize you've had wings all along. We'll see you tomorrow, and thanks again for stopping by.